I appreciate Pastor Mike trusting me enough to go out of town and say, here, you can preach for me. So I'm grateful for that. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 1 this morning, if you'll open your Bibles to that. Before the service, well, at the beginning of the service, as Brother Key was reading for us, he was reading from Ephesians chapter 6, and it begins with this statement, be strong in the Lord. And tonight we're going to talk about that, but this morning we want to take time and look at what does this really mean? What does it mean to be strong in the Lord? What do we have? And so that's where we're going to be. But before I do that, I want to pause for just a moment for our young people's sake. And I do want to take a moment and just talk about Memorial Day. Because we hit so many holidays that often we just kind of feel like it's a day out of school, possibly a day off work. And I don't know that we really, as a nation, talk about Memorial Day much. I appreciated the words that were spoken earlier. We're going to find we have Veterans Day coming up. Memorial Day, as he mentioned, is specifically remembering those who died serving our country in the military. Veterans Day is for all those who served and for those who are living. So keep those in mind. Memorial Day actually began as a term called Decoration Day. Decoration Day, actually Charleston has a claim to that, although they've settled that dispute and they say that New York began with Decoration Day first. But what it really was during the Civil War, many, many people died. We talk about it, but we don't really think about it today. Think about it like this. More people died at the Battle of Antietam than died on D-Day. That's an amazing thought. Over 600,000 people died during the Civil War. That's more than Charleston, Berkeley, and Dorchester counties combined. If everyone in Charleston, Dorchester, and Berkeley County died, there would have been more died in the Civil War than in just those counties today alone. It's pretty amazing. One of the things that we think about, Memorial Day, you think about picnics. Well, that tradition began because they would go to the cemetery and they would picnic at the cemetery as they decorated the tombstones of those that were not there with them to picnic. It's a somber thought. And the reason why I paused for that, I think it's important for us to remember for our nation what's going on, but I think also it's important because we are forgetful. You know, why do we have all these different holidays? Well, it is to help us remember things that are very valuable and important to us. Former Navy SEAL Robert O'Neill wrote an interesting article entitled, "Don't Wish Me Happy Memorial Day." In it, he said, "Don't wish me happy Memorial Day. There's nothing happy about the loss of brave men and women of our armed forces who died in combat defending America. Memorial Day is not a celebration. It's a time for reflection, pause, remembrance, and thanksgiving for patriots who gave up their own lives to protect the lives and freedom of all of us, including the freedom of generations long gone and generations yet unborn. We owe the fallen a debt so enormous that it can never be paid. Memorial Day is a time to honor the lives of those who would rather die than take a knee when our national anthem is played. But they will fight and die for the rights of those who kneel. This holiday is a time to think of young lives cut short, of wives and husbands turned into widows and widowers, of children growing up without a father or mother or parents bearing their children. Memorial Day is a time to think of what might have... Memorial Day is a time to think of might-have-beens that never were, of brave Americans who put their country before themselves. Without those heroes, America would not be America. The article was much longer, but I thought he wrote very clearly about what Memorial Day really was. In May of 2013, a guy named Mark Dice published interviews with beachgoers in San Diego over Memorial Day. He would ask them how they were going to celebrate Memorial Day, and he would often get a blank stare, so he would help them by saying, at first he was saying, well, you know what Memorial Day is about, and he would get this blank look. So finally, tongue-in-cheek, he began saying, you know, it's the day set aside to memorialize the surfing culture. You know, the great fallen surfing legends who helped pave the way for all the great surfing we enjoy today. And the people would all of a sudden have this moment of recognition and would say, oh. He'd say, so what are you going to do today to celebrate that? Yeah, I've seen a lot of guys out on the surf today. I've seen a lot of people out. And you could tell there was no recognition, no understanding for why we had Memorial Day. They not only didn't remember those who died, they didn't even remember why we had the holiday or how they got those freedoms. Sometimes we take our privileges for granted. And I hope today we'll pause and think about it. In the year 2000, President Clinton signed into law that on Memorial Day at 3 p.m., everyone should stop and for 1 minute think about those who sacrificed for us. I challenge you tomorrow to do that. You may have to set an alarm, because it will be very easy to just blast through your day and forget to remember. Why don't we pray together? Our Father, I pray that as we open your word, we would be a people that remember. I pray for your blessing on Pastor Mike, his family. I ask that you would, as he has said today, that you would turn Memorial Day into a Labor Day for Katie, and that today would be a day of rejoicing for their family in the gift of life. I pray today for us, that today we would be encouraged through your word, that we would enjoy our time as we study your word together, as we see what you've told us, and we would remember the outcome of this life. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Ephesians chapter 1, it's a book of remembering, a book of remembering our blessings, and a book of remembering, at the very end, the battles that we're going to come up against. Today, my goal is to just encourage you as we study God's Word. I hope today, as we look at God's Word, that you're going to see things and you're going to remember, and as you go out this week, if nothing else sticks in your mind, you're going to say, I'm going to remember the blessings that I have, and I'm going to remember the battles that are going to be coming, but all the resources that God has given me, so that I can succeed this week. I don't know about you, sometimes it's easy to get discouraged when I look at what's happening in our nation. It's easy to get discouraged when I look at my own life and I see my own failures. I know I'm not all that I want to be. And I've been saved a really long time. I've been saved now for over 40 years. But I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. So today, as we study God's Word, I hope to encourage you with things that God has been encouraging me with. We do a lot of memorials. We do a lot of things to remember. In fact, when we celebrate the Lord's table together, communion, remember Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." Why would he say that? Because he knows we forget. We get to where we're just doing normal life and we forget what God really has provided for us. And so he says, do this remembering me. You know, the Bible reminds us that the wages of sin, what we earn because of our sin, is death. Remember what God told Adam? God told Adam that if you would eat of these trees, you will surely die. And Satan said, you will not surely die. They ate of the fruit, and what did we see? By one man's sin, death came into the world so that all men now are sinners. But what do we know about Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, who had never sinned, came into this world and he took our sin punishment upon him so that we could be made righteous. And how do we know that God accepted his sacrifice? How do we know that Jesus Christ was sinless? Because Jesus Christ rose again. We celebrate that, but we need to remember that because, you see, those of you who have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have victory. And we're looking forward to a day when Jesus Christ is going to come back and take all of his own. We have been greatly blessed. But I think it's important that we stop and remember and recognize how our lives have changed because of Jesus Christ this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, we begin in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he may gather to himself in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. I'm going to pause. Well, let's keep going. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, after that ye have believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I was thinking about this text, and I was thinking, what a generous, kind God we have, and what an amazing Savior, and what a wonderful gift of a lifelong companion and guide, the Holy Spirit, that each of us have. So this morning, here's what I'd like for us to do. He begins in verse 3 and he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So here's what I want us to begin doing. I want us this morning to remember our blessings. Remember our blessings. You may want to take out a pen and maybe circle these in your Bible, or maybe jot down some notes to where you can go back and be reminded of these things. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing. I want you to notice the word that's repeated in verse 3. Notice how the word blessing keeps showing up? Almost seems like he couldn't think of another word to use. But you think about this, he's saying, we have all spiritual blessings. He says, who hath blessed us? What it's talking about here, he says, at a point in time in the past, God totally gave us all of the blessing. This is not one of those earn-as-you-go blessings. It's literally saying the word all means every, or has given us the whole. God did not keep back anything, but he said, I'm going to give you all spiritual blessings. So as we look on, he says, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Second thing I want you to notice here, it says, I want you to notice the spiritual blessings, and I want you to notice we have enablement this morning. Often when we come to church, we don't like to talk about the areas that we struggle in. We don't like to talk about our failures. wouldn't like to talk about how we have hard places in our lives. But I want you to notice what he's done. We have enablement to full family rights and resources. He said that we should be holy and without blame before him. Do you know today, the incredible thing that we need to remember is before God, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, before God, you are holy and without blame. Now, that's not the way I am physically. Even if I totally control what I should say and what I shouldn't say, even if I totally control my actions and don't respond when people do things to me that don't seem very kind, in my mind, I still struggle and I still sin. I'm not holy and without blame to everyone on earth, but I am holy and without blame before God today. You know, today I'm not trying to earn God's love. He loves me. He loves me, and before him, when he looks at me, he sees me through the lens of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, the just one for the unjust one. And today he sees me as holy and without blame. What a blessing that before the world began, he has already said, he said, through Jesus Christ, you will be holy and without blame. That's how I can stand before him today, and that's how you can stand before him today. Before him in love. I don't know your background. I don't know how you've what your family situation has been. Some of you maybe have grown up in wonderful situations, and when you think of home, you think of this wonderful, warm place. But I wouldn't be surprised if there are several here this morning who, when you think of home, that's not a great thought. It was hard and harsh. Yet he says, holy and without blame before him in love. Today we serve an awesome God. And we serve a loving God who's always good. We have enablement. I want you to notice in verses 7 and 8, we have redemption. We have redemption. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. We have redemption. We have full release, not probation. Today, Satan would have us to think, well, I just need to keep doing good, and if I keep doing good, then I will have redemption. He said, the problem is, if that's the way it works, I'll never get there. But we today have redemption because of what Jesus Christ has done. We have full release. We have full forgiveness by his grace, not by our works. I want you to notice, wherein, according to the riches of his grace. The word there means abundant. It has the idea of the abundance of God's grace, that it was excessive, over the top, extravagant in this gift of redemption, that he paid it all. You see, the difference between trying to work for your salvation compared to God and the extravagance, the abundance of his redemption. He gave us everything we need. He gave us all that we need and more than all that we need. Think about the song that was sung right before I came up to speak. Sin had left a crimson stain. Do you notice how Anna, when she repeated that, and repeated it, and by the third time she repeated it, she had my attention. I knew those words. And it's easy to just forget what's being sung. But Anna didn't want us to forget that, so she literally repeated it and repeated it and repeated it until we got the idea we need to remember how awful our sin was and how awful sin is. It leaves a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. That's why he says, in whom we have redemption. But there's something else that I want you to notice today. We have his secret plans. Look at the second part of verse 8. In all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Today we have the most incredible thought, and that is this: we know what God is thinking. You see, today, we don't have to say, I sure wish I knew what God was thinking. I wish I knew. No, the reality is, he's given us his word. He wants us to know. You see, we have his secret plans, the mystery of his will. We know what God is thinking. We know God's expectations. You know, the interesting thing is, we don't even have to wonder, is God pleased with how I'm living? 1 Corinthians chapter 4 says, we will be judged according to what is written. So there's nothing mystical about that. God says, I want you to know my thoughts. I want you to know what I'm thinking. So he's given us his word. What's interesting also, he goes on to say, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Now, those are words that sometimes we just kind of get caught up in. But the reality of what he's telling us is, he says, I want you to know there is a completion of this season. The dispensation word there means a season. It's a period of time. And he says, God has made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. In other words, God's told us how things are going to work out. We know the ending. What's the ending? He says, that at the fullness of times, that in the dispensation, this period of time, when the fullness, when it's come to completion, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Do you know there is a completion of this current season when he will gather all of his people to himself? We're not just in this endless loop. There's a time coming when he's going to gather all. He's going to gather the whole, is what the word all means, that are in Christ to himself. And we're waiting on that day. And that's going to take place. It's already predetermined. There is a completion of the time that we're in. And I want you to notice one more thing. We not only have his secret plans, but we have an inheritance. Verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Notice with me, we have a pre-planned inheritance. Now, it's not been but just a few weeks ago that my father died. And my sister, my brother, and I have spent a lot of time talking because my dad planned an inheritance for his three children. And you know, that inheritance, he thought through exactly what he wanted us to have. Now, my home experience was a very good home experience. When I think of my dad, I have very warm thoughts. But whether you've had a great home experience or whether you've had a hard home experience, let me tell you this, you have a loving Heavenly Father. And he has pre-planned your inheritance. today, you have a wonderful inheritance in him. And what's interesting, look at verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. We will bring praise to him. Now, how did we receive this inheritance? And I think this is important today because I want to make sure everyone today would know how to have this inheritance. You say, well, it's great that you had a good dad, but I didn't have such a good dad. Every one of us today can have a wonderful Heavenly Father. Notice what he says. Follow along because he describes how this happened. He says, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye have heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. So let's look at these three things. First of all, what happens? First of all, they heard the word. You see, you need to know that there is an inheritance. You need to know that there is a Heavenly Father. You need to know that Jesus Christ, his Son, came and died on this earth. When they heard it, you've heard today that sin stains our lives. Sin separates us from God. But Jesus Christ paid that debt. He died in my place. He died in your place. So with that in mind, think about this. First of all, they heard the truth. They understood the good news of salvation, of deliverance, of redemption. And third, verse 13, it says, in whom ye believed. You see, it's not enough just to know about Jesus Christ. You must personally choose to place your faith, your trust, your belief in Jesus Christ. You know, you can say whatever you want. That's what makes it so interesting when you're talking about, well, do I need to pray certain words for a prayer? No, not to receive Christ as your Savior. But it is a matter of, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? Do you personally place your trust in what Jesus Christ did to have your sins forgiven? These people, these Ephesian Christians, who came from a really wild background, this was one of the main centers of cult religions. This is where the Temple of Diana was, a temple that was longer than a football field. In fact, it was about 1.5 times the length of a football field. It was about 1.5 times the width of a football field. This was the place where they would keep many of the treasures of various kingdoms in that temple. It was a place that was wicked. They understood religions. He said, though, you came to place your faith in Jesus Christ. And through that, they had an inheritance. Notice the one last thing here, into verse 13. In whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You know, the last blessing that I want to remind you of this morning is, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. You know, for over 40 years, every place I've gone, the Holy Spirit's gone with me. This morning, as I preach, the Holy Spirit is up here on the platform with me. But as I'm driving, and I get upset with someone, or as I get upset and think about what someone else has done, or when I see something I should not see, do you know, the Holy Spirit is still always with me. And he's empowered me to where I can do everything that I need to do. And the blessing this morning that we need to remember is every believer absolutely receives the Holy Spirit because he says he is the earnest. Notice with me verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. The word earnest is the same word we would use for when you're going to buy something and you put down some money. You say, I'm going to come back. I'm going to buy this. Will you hold this for me if I put down this amount of money? I want to buy this car. If I leave $1,000, will you hold this car for me till I can come back with the rest of the money? The Holy Spirit, God says, is the earnest, is the down payment of receiving the entire inheritance. So the Holy Spirit will never be taken from me because He is God's promise to me. Over 30 years ago, I met my wife. And we had dated and we had dated, and I finally came to a point where I didn't want anyone else to take her. I wanted to marry her. And I gave her an earnest ring that said, I'm going to come back and I'm going to get the rest of you. So I gave her an engagement ring. Now, God said, I love you, and you can guarantee that I am going to give you your entire inheritance because I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. Everyone here today has received the Holy Spirit if you have believed on Jesus Christ. You know, there's never a time when He's not with you. There's never a temptation that He is not there with you. There's never a circumstance when He's not there with you. Now, I've given you half the message this morning. I want you to walk away and just remember what a great God you have. And as we remember those who died so that we might have freedom today, we would really be failing to remember if we don't stop and remember our Lord Jesus Christ. He died that we might be free. But I've given you half of this message because you need to remember these blessings, and then we're going to come to the text that Key read for us. Now, this text for me is so exciting because it will give you hope tomorrow and the day after when you go out into the world and you're going to be confronted. Because you see, you need to remember the blessings that we have every day, but you also need to remember you are in a battle. And if you don't remember that, you're not going to understand why you're getting shot at all the time and how you can have victory. Because you see, God is such a good God. He doesn't send us out into the world without the protection that we need. Remember your blessings. It's easy for us to live like we don't have blessings. It's easy for us to walk through our day with a face that says, I'm defeated. To live discouraged and focus on the wickedness of Satan all around us. Many years ago, a good friend of mine named Dick Mercado, he lives out in Arizona, and he said he heard his son screaming like he was dying. And he walked out, and his kids were in their swimming pool. And their son was getting nailed with a squirt gun. So the sisters, as sisters sometimes do, We're just really hammering him, and he's screaming at the top of his lungs saying, it's not fair, I'm out of water. And his gun was empty, but he was standing in a swimming pool. All he had to do was put the gun in the water, and he had lots of water to shoot. Do you know we live that way sometimes? We're saying, God, this isn't fair. I can't handle what I'm going through. Life is not fair. And we're standing in the pool where God has blessed us with all. There's not one that He left out. All spiritual blessings. And that's what you have today. Remember your blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I hope today you can walk out, and if nothing else, you will remember, today I have the enablement. Satan's going to come and he's going to say, you can't beat this one, you may as well give in. No, 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 I have the enablement, I have the grace, not to live any way Satan wants me to live, I have the grace to defeat Satan and to live the way God designed me to live. We misuse the word grace today. Grace is not the ability to just go out and live any way that I want to, because that's going to hurt you. Grace is the ability to live the way God designed you to, in spite of what Satan does in trying to tempt you. You have enablement. You have redemption. You are completely forgiven today. You have God's plans. You know how to live, and you know how to understand the traps of Satan. You have an inheritance that cannot be taken away from you, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. And you have the Holy Spirit. Can I ask you this question this morning? Have you ever received those blessings from God? It begins with receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, I grew up going to church all of my life. That didn't make me a Christian. I mean, if just going to church made you a Christian, I should have been a really good candidate. I left church to be born. I mean, surely that's got to count for something, right? But it didn't. You see, it wasn't a matter of what my parents did or my grandparents did. It was a matter of what I've done with Jesus Christ. And so though I grew up going to church, I had to personally receive Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that? Now, I'm not looking at you and judging you. I just know I went to church and I wasn't saved. Are you saved today? Are you sure? You see, there was many a church service that I even said, if I wasn't already saved, I'd get saved. Until one day I realized, this is crazy. If I don't think I'm saved, I'm probably not. Now, was I saved before that point? I can't say for certain, but I do know this. On that day in September, I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I know for certain I'm saved today. Please don't put it off if you don't know the Lord as your Savior. But if you do, it's very possible there's someone here this morning that's really been struggling and Satan's been beating you up. You're feeling defeated, discouraged, maybe even depressed. And you say, I don't know what to do. Could I encourage you, go back and remember your spiritual blessings. Ask God to open your eyes to what He's given you. And this could be the best week you've had in months. As you begin using the gifts you have, and you begin talking to the Holy Spirit, and you begin depending on Him, who is always with you, to give you victory in that area that you're struggling in. Now, tonight, we're going to come back to spiritual armor. And what I want you to do is we're going to look at what we just studied this morning, and we're going to look and see how that applies to how you can have victory every day. I hope you'll come back. Invite a friend maybe that's discouraged. They won't be beat up tonight. They'll be encouraged as they think about what a great God we have. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me?